from Illinois Public Media. This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Before we get into the program, I want to mention you might be tuning in to hear a conversation with another candidate for U.S. Senate today. We were scheduled to talk with Christopher Swan, who's running in the Democratic primary, but as we were going to air this morning, he did not show up at our studios. His phone was going to voicemail. He later did get in touch, told us he had a family emergency, and had sent an email on Thursday, but our producer checked her account multiple times, found no such message. In any case, instead, the longest interstate in Illinois is 57. It starts in Cairo, ends in Chicago. That spans 362 miles, and if you're going the assigned speed limit of 70 miles an hour, it would take you 5 hours and 12 minutes to complete the trip nonstop. That, in and of itself, would be a feat of endurance. Now imagine making that journey on foot. Well, a man from the Chicago suburb of Mount Prospect did just that. He started in Cairo, actually went a little beyond Illinois into Beloit, Wisconsin, just north of Rockford. It was a journey that totaled 416 miles, and Chase Bandelick is the man. He's got a following on social media as a content creator. He also owns a gym and is an ultra-marathon runner. He recorded the race across Illinois on Instagram and TikTok.
I'm running over 400 miles from the bottom of Illinois to the top.
Today, we're going from Hudson to Winona.
Welcome to day 7.
Recovery is going
to
be key, so here are the tools I'm bringing to help my body stay in the game. Compression boots to help keep my legs fresh. A compact red light for extra recovery benefits. Tart cherry juice to support my joints. Protein to help my muscles rebuild. And pro-compression recovery socks to keep the blood flowing.
Good morning. Today is day 1 of Chase's run through Illinois. I just sent him off. Today is 54 miles. We're starting in Cairo, Illinois. I can't believe we're actually doing this.
90 minutes into this run, so far I've seen about 10 cars.
Dang.
It's been nice and flat so far, which is awesome. Perfect roads to run on, weather's perfect. A little bit of drizzle at the beginning.
Chase joined us for a conversation we first aired in June of last year, so obviously no calls for this part of the show, but you can let us know what you thought. Our email address is talk@21stshow.org. All right, why do this? Why run across the state of Illinois?
So I got into running shortly after college and just slowly have been ramping things up. The first thing I ever did in terms of like endurance was I ran my first marathon, and I actually did it with a weighted vest. And I just loved the feeling of like putting out a challenge. It was difficult that you're not sure if you could do it, and just giving it your all and finding a way to get it done. And that ramped up from that marathon with a weighted vest to running 100 miles and doing an Ironman and then a 200 miler. And it's just been so fun to keep pushing myself and see what I could do. And over the course of the last year, I've been starting to see more and more people run through their states. And I had yet to see someone run through Illinois from bottom to top. And that's when I came up with the idea of, I want to be the first person to do this.
Oh my gosh. Wait a minute. So I've got this list of questions to ask you, but I got to stop on the weighted vest thing. What? Who does that? Tell me more about this weighted vest. Like, okay, I'm going to do a marathon. That's one thing. But no, just doing a marathon's not enough for me. I got to wear a weighted vest. How do you come to that decision?
Yeah, so that started because I signed up for the Chicago Marathon. And if anyone's ran the Chicago Marathon before, they know there's a few different ways you could get in. One of them is through the lottery. And then another way is running it with a charity. And with the charity, you have to raise a certain amount to be able to run the marathon. And I ran it with Oasis for Orphans. And for that marathon, I was like, okay, like I want to incentivize people to donate instead of just saying I'm running a marathon, which is a super incredible accomplishment. But I feel like I wanted something that maybe like push people to donate a little bit more. So I said, if you get the donations in by a certain day, I'll run it with a weighted vest. And that definitely helped, and people donated and hit the goal amount very quickly. So it definitely worked. It was very challenging. It was harder than I thought it'd be, but was able to get it done.
I guess it helps that Chicago's relatively flat, maybe. So to talk about your preparation routine, what goes into preparing for an ultra marathon or an, I don't know what this length of 416 miles is like. Is there a category above ultra marathon or how do you rate that?
Yeah. So for ultra marathons, technically an ultra marathon is anything over 26.2 miles. And that could range from a 50K up to whatever distance it may be. And the preparation for something like this, it's not as crazy as you'd think. You're not running as many miles as you'd really think. It's not so much about like doing a super long run where I'm going for 12 hours. It's more so the accumulation of multiple weeks back to back where you are running a lot over the course of a week. So typically for something like this, I shoot for stacking like a month or a couple of months of being above 100 miles a week and doing that for over the course of 8 weeks in a row, and then slowly tapering down where you're running less miles heading into the big event. But a good way to think of it is like you can prep your body, but at the end of the day, no matter how prepared you are, it's still very challenging, very painful, and very hard. So it's more so just having like the right mindset of I'm going to find a way to get this done no matter what. The preparation definitely helps, but you can do all the running in the world and you're not prepared for something like this. It's more so just when the time comes, find a way to get it done.
What about logistically? How do you plan, you know, where to stay? Do you have a tent? Do you have a support vehicle? What's that like?
Yeah, so for this one specifically, since it was something that we created on our own and we're kind of going on the fly, it definitely was one of the most challenging things we've done logistically. The other races that I've done, like the 200 miler or the 100 miler, those are a set race where you have a race director and your route is planned out. You got the course marked, you know exactly where to go. There's different stops for fueling. For this, it was all just set up on our own. And believe it or not, to set up the initial route, I had to adjust it a little bit, but I just used ChatGPT and I was like, okay, I want to run from here to here. I want it to take this amount of days. Can you give me a good route to get me from here to here with safe roads and just a safe place to run? And it gave me a kind of a basic layout. I adjusted a little bit for the day-to-day of how I was going to attack it. So we did have a general plan with some general ideas of hotels beforehand, but with the run, things adjusted quite a bit just with the weather. So during this run, there was multiple days where it was really bad weather. There was two different days where there were tornado warnings, like exactly where we had to like get off the road immediately. There's even one time I saw a storm chaser on the side of the road and he's like, you really have to get off this road. You're running straight into like a really bad storm. So from there we had to kind of find hotels on the fly that were close to us, but we tried to plan out as much as we could with the planning, but ChatGPT definitely played a big role in terms of creating that initial route.
That's amazing. You know, also that it didn't direct you into Lake Michigan or anything like that. I kid. ChatGPT, don't turn me into a paperclip. All right, talk about supplies. How do you keep yourself hydrated and fed and you know, things of that nature?
Sure. Yeah. So for this one, I brought a vest with me, and a couple of days I'd like bring like water bottles with me. And for this one, my girlfriend Riley, she would meet me every 5 miles or so, and then from there, I would grab stuff from the trunk. We had the trunk like set up with all the stuff I needed for fueling. I had like my sodium, my salt stick. I had all the fueling in the trunk. I would have some on me. And then every 5 miles, if I ever needed like to add more, more liquids or get more, more fuel, I would just snag it from the trunk and then meet her another 5 miles up.
If you're just joining us, this is the 21st show. We're talking with Chase Bandelik, an ultra marathoner, a gym owner, and a content creator. He ran the length of Illinois from Caro to Beloit, Wisconsin, north of Rockford, 416 miles, documented it all on social media, Instagram, TikTok. Talk about that process. How does running a race that you are documenting for public consumption differ from maybe one you're just doing, you know, on your own?
Yeah, definitely the content side of things was very challenging, especially for this, because I was running pretty much from the second the sun was up until the sun went down. And it takes a toll on your body, especially day after day, it would get worse and worse. So the hardest part was right after I was done running for the day, which would usually be around like 7:30 PM. I would get to a hotel, I would do my laundry, I would eat. And then from there, I was editing my content. So I did all the editing on my own. And then my girlfriend also did a series as well, documenting the run through Illinois. She helped with photos and getting some videos. But when I'd get back to the hotel, I would be editing. And then I'd pretty much be editing, take care of my feet, and then go to bed. So the hardest part was at the end of each day, all I wanted to do was go to bed. And I knew I had to like pump out a couple of videos to try to document it along the way. So that definitely added another challenge to it. But it's also kind of fun too, because there were so many people along the journey who followed it from TikTok and from Instagram that like every 30 minutes, there'd be someone in their car who was honking or waving, or sometimes there'd be schools outside that were cheering. So it's cool to get the community side of things. And really see people in person who are following along with the journey and want to see how it ends.
What are some of your favorite moments from the run?
Yeah, I had so many very hard moments and so many just awesome, fun moments. But some of my favorites were, there's one specifically, it was on day 8. And I was struggling with some really bad Achilles pain, and both my feet were swelling up really bad. A lot of this came from just running on roads for so long, because a lot of ultra marathons are on trails, which is softer and a lot easier on your legs, kind of similar to like a treadmill. But when you're running on a road or on concrete, it really like takes a toll on your body. So that was causing a lot of problems for me. And there was one day specifically on day 8 where I was really struggling to keep moving. I would go in like 5 mile increments at a time. And I was pretty much limping for most of the day. And there were times where I had to stop and I could not take another step. My body was so swollen that it literally felt like I needed crutches to even move anywhere. And we got to about 30 miles and I tried several times to just take another step and I couldn't. We were there for probably like 30 minutes. I tried backwards walking. I tried lateral walking. I tried everything under the sun. And then out of nowhere, I was like, I'm just going to try to run because I know I have to get this distance done today. And I just started running. And the first mile was very painful, but the pain just went completely away. Everything went away like nothing I've experienced before. My legs could move no problem at all. I was running down this road where there was windmills all around. And it was like right as the sun was setting. It was like one of the most beautiful moments of my life where my legs are working perfectly fine. It literally felt like I just started the run through Illinois. And I was able to cover 10 miles at some of my fastest paces over the course of that entire run. But that was really a highlight of the whole journey.
Amazing. Amazing. All right. What did it mean to finally finish, to be able to accomplish this? Do you miss the pain, the struggle, in some way, you know, the way people sometimes miss, you know, really hard things like, I don't know, you know, war journalists or something like that?
Yeah, after I was done, so the last day when I got there was more so just relief that I finished it, because those last few days I was really struggling to keep moving. And it was really a miracle that, especially days 8 through 10, that I was able to run like good parts of that. And so when I was done, I was more so relieved that I didn't have to stop too long, or I didn't have to extend it more days than I wanted to. But after the journey, so many weird things happened. Like one, like my phone was only set to walking directions for a really long time, just because I was so used to having that set to walking directions. And I drove to work. I actually worked the next day after these races. I usually try to work like right after, just to get my body back in the swing of things. And I feel like just being on my feet a little bit helps with the recovery instead of just kind of sitting around. But after work, like I was driving and it felt wrong to be sitting in a car driving. Because for those 10 days, pretty much my only job was just to be running. So I was in the car and I would like look at the side of the road or look at the shoulder of the road. And I was thinking like, I should be on there. I shouldn't be in this car. It was a really weird feeling of like sitting in the car. But yeah, as the weeks went on where I was recovering, I definitely missed it. And with these races, you just learn so much about yourself, because there's so many just ups and downs throughout it. Like no matter what, when you're going like above 100 miles, there will always be roadblocks that come in, whether it be like problems with fueling or blisters, something will always come up. And there's so many ups and downs, but it's just so fun to problem solve and kind of find a way to make things happen when it feels like there's really no way. So I definitely miss it. And I definitely will keep doing these races and keep pushing myself. So there'll definitely be more to come, but right now it's kind of nice and enjoying the downtime.
super impressive. You know, some of us encounter roadblocks on just a couple of miles. So Chase Bandelik is a an ultra marathoner. He owns a gym or runs a gym, and he completed a run from the southernmost point in Illinois to the northernmost, 416 miles. Thank you so much for sharing your journey with us today on the 21st show.
Thanks for having me.
We originally spoke with Chase in June of last year. Let me just say again, if you were tuning in today expecting to hear our interview with another Democratic U.S. Senate candidate, Christopher Swan, well, so were we. We were expecting to have that conversation. He did not make it to the studio today. We did hear from him eventually. Apparently, he had a family emergency, said he emailed us, but we can find no such evidence of that. I digress. Instead, we're listening back to some of our favorite segments from the recent past. Coming up after the break, who counts as a Midwesterner? No question about us in the Prairie State, but what about people in the Dakotas or Colorado? We'll talk about a study looking at Midwestern identity, how far it goes, what it all means, and we'll bring you the conversation we originally had about this back in 2023. I guess I said recent. Well, time's a flat circle. All right, more to come after a short break. It's the 21st show. Stay with us.